Hi, this is James Devine, and I am an educator who has come out of the trenches. Listen in as my friend and colleague Dana Goodyear shares stories and tips from other educators who have come out of the trenches.
Welcome to the Out of the Trenches podcast. This is Dana Goodyear. Thanks for listening.
Matthew Moyer is a nationally distinguished principal and Pennsylvania Principal of the Year. He is an elementary school principal with over 20 years of experience in administration and over 25 years of experience in education. In addition to his job as a principal, he is an author, national speaker, adjunct professor, and staff developer with Tom Sketcher and Associates. Matt started his career as a fifth grade teacher in the Spring Ford Area School District. He earned a master's degree and principal certificate. He then spent 3 years as an assistant principal at Schuylkill Valley Elementary School in Leesport, Pennsylvania. From there, he moved to his current position as principal at Rupert Elementary School in the Pottston School District. He is in his 16th year as principal of Rupert and absolutely loves it. He completed his coursework for his letter of eligibility to become a superintendent. For the last 10 years, he has been the district's safety coordinator and certified CPI nonviolent crisis intervention trainer. He has served numerous roles and on a variety of committees during his time in administration. Welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Well, tell me about a time when you were in the trenches and managed to crawl out.
So I thought a lot about, you know, in the trenches, and over my time, there's been a lot. And one that came to my mind recently goes back to one of my first years as principal here. I had a student that was having a hard time quite often. And when you have a student having a difficult time, you choose an intervention, and sometimes they work and sometimes they don't, right? And this particular day I chose an intervention with him, and it didn't work. And it didn't work very well in that he put a hole in my office wall. And so I fast forward about 10 years after that. And you know, after those things happen, you always reflect on that. I shouldn't fast forward yet. After I reflected on that, I figured out some different ways, and eventually we found some good ways to interact with this young man when he was upset, to get him calmed down, different from anything else I've done with anyone else. And, you know, I didn't think too much about that. He moved on out of my school and then actually moved out of this town about an hour and a half away. And then we fast forward about 10 years, and he reached out to me and said, "Hey, Mr. Moyer, I'd like to come back and see you. I'm graduating soon." He drove an hour and a half to see me. And, we reconnected. It was great to hear all the things he was doing and his plans for the future after graduation. And, I bring that up, you know, as an in the trenches story, because when we're in the trenches, sometimes we can't always see that we're having an impact. But I clearly had an impact on this young man, one that we connected with, that stuck with him and maybe will stick with him the rest of his life. So much so that he was willing to drive quite a distance to even come and see me upon his graduation from high school. So I think that it's important for everyone to remember we're having an impact every day. And when we're in the trenches, sometimes we can forget that. And oftentimes we never get to hear those stories about, you know, how that child, connected with us, you know. But they do. Everyone remembers teachers from their school and how they connected with them in some way or the other, hopefully in good ways, but sometimes in not so good ways. And so we have that opportunity every day to have a huge impact on kids, and we should value and remember that each day.
Yeah, and it's so great to know, like, he actually managed to reach out to you. Like, you know, you remembered what had happened with him as a student, but the thought that he wanted to see you after all those years and reconnect with you, it really goes a long way. Let's talk a little bit about the process to becoming Pennsylvania Principal of the Year. So you received this honor in 2020, but you said you didn't get to receive the physical honor then until 2021 at the reception. But tell me what went into applying, what kind of things that you have to prepare for listeners who might be interested in nominating somebody or maybe want to become principals of the year. What does somebody have to do?
So the Pennsylvania Principal Association has a very thorough process that goes with the national process. And first you have to be nominated by someone. And then after you're nominated, there's a lot of writing you have to do. There's a lot of questions they send to you if your nomination is, agreed upon. So that's the first step. They ask you all kinds of questions and you have to send, you know, documentation of the different things and, you know, for all aspects of the principalship. Once you send those in, they're reviewed by a committee. The committee looks through all the folks for that year and decides upon one or two or three, depending upon the year. And then they move on to the next step, which involves a number of interviews with people, including the candidate, but they look at a supervisor, a parent, a teacher, and a variety of other people that they seek information from about that candidate. Once they've done that, then they may interview the candidates. And then they also may do a site visit. And I say may because mine happened during a pandemic. So they weren't able to do all those things in person. They did a lot virtually and did a lot on paper and pencil. They weren't able to come out and do a site visit because it was happening at the time when the whole world was shut down. But once they get through all that, then the committee selects the winner. And I know that process a little bit better than just being selected, because once you have the honor, then they often ask you to serve on the committee, which I am now on the Pennsylvania Committee for Selecting the Future Principals of the Year. So it's a pretty extensive process and thorough, and we take it very seriously because, you know, we're really holding that as something that is, hey, we have a high standard. We want whoever the winner is to have a high standard. So I was just honored to be nominated and quite shocked when I actually won.
So when they do that site visit, or in your case, it was virtually, do they interview people at your school and just get a good feel about how the schools run and any programs that you have? What is part of that, just kind of getting that feeling on the ground?
Yeah, so when they did mine, they did them virtually, and they interviewed teacher, the superintendent here at our school district, a parent, trying to remember who else they did, and to get a feel for you, absolutely, like you said, for all the things that, like, I submitted a lot of stuff in writing, and I said, well, I'm doing this, and we're doing that, and these are the things that I'm proud of, and the programs we have here that we've developed, and that's a chance for them to say, okay, let me talk to some other people around, and see if these things that have been developed under this leadership are really effective, and are really working, and are really making an impact like we hope they are.
And so during that year that you're principal of the year, do you end up speaking at different schools, or is there any type of professional development, or, how does that look? Is there like a tour that you kind of give of the state?
Well, there's not that. And during my year was COVID year. So people weren't going out and doing things. But typically what happens is there's a huge celebration in Washington, D.C. in the fall, where all of the nationally distinguished principals of the year from each state come, and they have a number of different things that they do there. We weren't able to do that, but we did it at the Summer Institute, the National Principals Conference in the summer. And so everyone gets to give a 2-minute speech for everyone. That's one of the things. There's a number of things that we do together as a group to get to know the other nationally distinguished principals. I have put in for in numerous years, including the year that I won, to speak at the conference and was selected as a speaker. So I ran a couple different sessions. They did this in the summer of 2021 is when we got our award. So during that session a year ago, in addition to being involved with that, I did run a number of sessions that were available for people to come to hear about, you know, a couple different topics that I had, some by myself and another with a friend of mine. So, but there is no grand state tour that happens, although that would be amazing. Although most principals like myself would probably feel super guilty leaving our building for any amount of time. I feel guilty whenever I'm not at my building when school's in session.
But that's great that you were able to then be recognized in DC last year and were able to then, give those sessions and meet with the others. I assume most of the other 50 or 51 recipients came and you were able to meet the other principals and kind of talk about their own situations. And does that vary a lot, kind of like you were the state principal of the year? So it wasn't just for secondary or elementary, the national distinguished principal. How does that divide them?
This for this is elementary and middle school are combined. I got to meet with all of them. It was more than 50 because they actually have some from outside of the continental United States, Puerto Rico, and some other places. And we were able, you know, one of the things that happens in those 2-minute speeches is you get to hear everyone's story, right? You get to hear what they're doing. They talk a little about what they're doing or how they got there. And, you know, stories were ranging from, you know, how a principal may have guided their school through some change or development to other stories that were very personal. You know, one of the principals talked about how she lost a child during her time as principal and the community came together and the things they grew after that. So it's very inspirational and a great opportunity for some professional learning for all of us to meet each other and hear those stories. And, you know, just get to see some amazing things that are being done. You know, most principals that I know of, we don't get a chance to really connect with other principals too much. Principals in my district, I do, but not outside of the district. And it's a great chance to really have some professional growth yourself and hear some of the amazing things and to borrow great ideas that you see there.
So kind of in that same vein, I wanted to talk about upcoming professional development that you're doing. So you're speaking at the National Principals Conference this year, and then you said also at the Pennsylvania Principals Conference in early August. What is your session on, or do you have multiple sessions?
Well, this year, the topic that I put together, and I've been working on it recently, is called Hire for Character, Train for Skill. And it's really all about how I go about hiring anyone, not just teachers, but anyone to come work in my school. And so oftentimes I think some people look at the wrong things when they go to hire people for their building. And so the main idea behind this session is, you know, I can train you in a variety of things. Like I can train you on the five essential elements of teaching reading, right? I can train you on how to be a better math teacher. But there are some things that I can't really train you on. I can help you get better, but if you don't have these intrinsic characteristics, I can't really train you on those. I can't teach you on those. And it comes down to your core values. And so what are your core values as the principal and what's important to you? And you have to first determine that and then hire people based on those core values. So one of my big core values that is important to me is building relationships. And when I say building relationships, I don't just mean with kids. I mean building relationships with kids, but I mean building relationships with other teachers, with parents, with colleagues, with everyone. And unfortunately, I don't believe that most people can be trained on those skills. You either have the right mindset of, I want to work collaboratively, or you don't. And if you don't have it, that's not really necessarily the kind of person that I want working in my school. So the session is all about that. You know, going from how do I screen through candidates? What do I do in an interview and those kinds of things? And it's a quick hitter. It's only an hour. So I'm going to give a lot of tips and techniques that I've developed and information and things that I use over the last over 20 years that I hope may be helpful to other principals when they're going to hire people for their building.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, and those are always great tips to have. As you know, every summer there's turnaround, and even this past school year, there was a lot of turnaround mid-year. And, you know, I think some hiring teams tend to recycle the same questions year after year, but attending a session like yours will help people kind of think outside the box, right, on those questions. Do you have any maybe examples of kind of an out-of-the-box question that you might have as part of your session, an out-of-the-box interview question that maybe a lot of principals haven't thought of?
Wow, that's a great question. And I don't know that I have any out-of-the-box questions as much as I look for certain answers. And then as we get through a conversation, follow-up questions are essential and important. It doesn't have to be a some earth-shattering question. You can ask a question as simple as, what would you do if a parent asked you for a daily report on their child's behavior?
Yeah.
So that's maybe a standard question. It's often a follow-up question I might ask, you know, and then you see what their answer is. Certain answers to that tell me, well, are you the kind of person that's going to work collaboratively with a parent and others? And other answers, not so much. So I don't proclaim in any way, shape, or form during any session I've ever done for years and years to be an expert. As a matter of fact, I come out of the gate and I tell everyone, I'm not an expert in anything. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you. I'm not an expert in anything.
Yeah.
But I might have some things that I can share with you that would be helpful to you. You know, and when you're hiring someone, we have to remember you're making a potentially 30-year or more commitment. And you know, if you make a poor selection, the amount of time and energy and documentation and so on that it takes to either change or to encourage that person to seek employment elsewhere is incredible. So putting the time in out front and doing things the right way really matters a lot.
Talk to me a little bit about some of the work that you do. So you teach at Montgomery Community College and you're supervising pre-student teachers. So, you know, I've talked to principals before who, you know, teach at a university, maybe in the principal prep program, but I haven't talked to many people who are actually supervising pre-student teachers. And that's an area that there's a lot of need right now. So talk to me about how long you've been doing it. And then also what you're seeing in those classes, the trends in teacher prep.
Sure. So there's actually two different things that I do there. I teach at the Montgomery County Community College, which is an introduction to education course. It's one of the first courses that people take. And then I also teach at a place called DeSales University, which is where I'm supervising pre-student teachers. So these are students that are in the graduate program. They already have a degree, but they're going back to teach, to find, you know, to go into teaching, which is great because typically, you know, these are people that have gone out and done something else and gone, you know what? I think teaching is the thing that I'm called to do. Let me go do that. And so it's interesting, a couple different things. One, you know, I found that a lot of them are really top-notch people that are really in tune to things I'm pretty impressed with because this is pre-student teaching. They're not even student teaching yet. So we have a lot of dialogue about, you know, the different aspects of teaching. And, you know, I do a lot of listening to what they have to say. Well, tell me some things that you saw in your observations that talk about, you know, classroom management or these kinds of things. And so it's very insightful conversation. I've had a lot of great conversations with them and seen, you know, I go in and watch, they do a little teaching, just a little bit. And that's been really great to see some of these young people really out there doing that. What has been interesting is because of the state of teaching right now and the lack of teachers, you only need to have a degree or a certain number of credits before you can go in and start actually working. So some of the students that I've had are actually working right now, either as a paraprofessional or as a substitute teacher. And that's been interesting, you know, and spanning the gamut on that's been, I think, be a really good experience. You know, I encourage them as if they're substitute teaching, for example, you have a great opportunity every day to go into a different classroom and borrow great ideas from great teachers, right? Hey, I like the way this teacher sets up their management system, or this teacher had me do this lesson. Ooh, I really like that. I'm going to borrow that when I get my own classroom. But the downfall of that is some of these people are actually already teaching, and they're not necessarily always ready for that. And so that concerns me for the profession because we have such a lack of teachers that we're hiring people sometimes who are not the right people. But I've only been doing that about a year, and it's been a really interesting experience so far. And, you know, again, I'm really impressed by the majority of them. We're just wrapping up a summer session right now where I've had a number of students, and we just had a classroom meeting last week. And, you know, I was really impressed with the answers that they're giving me to questions that I have to remind myself, hey, these students haven't even student taught yet. And the feedback that they're giving me based on the Danielson model and the domains is pretty impressive for students that haven't even student taught yet. So it's good to see. The one thing that's really good to see is the amount of hours that they have to go in and observe. In pre-student teaching, they have to do, one class I've done is 90 hours, one is 80 hours. So it's a lot of time seeing what's really going on in the profession. And I think that's great because, you know, you can do as much studying about theory and book work as you want, but until you get in the trenches and see what's happening, you don't really know what real classrooms are like. So I'm glad that they're making them go out and get that experience and those opportunities.
Do you see more trends of people who are coming into teaching from a previous career, or are there more people that are, you know, getting the bachelor's in education as their first job? Because recently I've seen more people coming in as a second career.
I mean, I guess if I was looking at a trend, what I've seen in looking at our candidates and so on is still more of the traditional, I went to college to get my teaching degree and now I'm going out to the workforce. But I think one of the things that's different for me is that at the elementary level, I think that's more common. But I think at the secondary level, sometimes that can be different because you might have someone who goes out into the workforce and they have a real interest in history. And then they go back and get their history degree to go teach history. And I know that those certificate areas, from everything I know working with our HR department, there are far less people that get those degrees anymore. I mean, there's far less people getting all teaching degrees now. So I think at the middle school and high school level, they're probably seeing a little bit more than we are at the elementary level.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of your books that you've written. So you've written three different children's books, The Adventures of David and Donald, The Fractured Flower Pot, Sunday Night Words of Wisdom. Talk to me about one of those books. And, you know, there's several more too. You have a website. I'm going to link information about the books. But talk to me about one of the books. You said they're on SEL topics. And how could teachers use those in their classrooms?
Yeah. So, you know, a number of the books I have are really on SEL topics, and I wrote them for number one, just to do it, right? Because it was just another thing, another adventure to have myself and say, hey, I want to try and do this that I've never done. And I did that over the course of a couple years here. And so the David and Donald books are a series that really go along with SEL themes. I have another one called Kiera is Kind. And so the hope is with any of those books that a teacher could pick those up, read those to their class as a read aloud, and then follow up with a conversation or even a specific lesson on the topic that's there and really use it as a teaching tool. Of course, it's a book that you can just have for your kids and they can read, or you can read to them. They're good read alouds. But as with any book, I think, you know, having a nice story and nice illustrations is good, but having a theme behind it is a good thing. So the Basketball Bewilderment, which is the newest David and Donald one that I have, is really about, you know, problem solving. And in this particular case, how do you come up with fair teams and how do you use your different voices? You know, we talk to kids all the time about using your assertive voice. So you have an aggressive voice, which might get you into an argument or a fight. You have a passive voice where maybe you just let things happen. And then you use an assertive voice with someone to let them know how you're feeling about something and work toward a reasonable conclusion. And so I think that's an important skill for everyone to learn. There's a lot of grownups that could use a lot of help with those skills too. How do you use an assertive voice with people to let them know how you're feeling and understand that we want to come to a conclusion that we can all live with? So I'm pretty proud of that work and just excited that I got the opportunity to do that and work with some really good people in terms of illustrators. My illustrators are all people that I know, and they really got the vision of what I was trying to go for with the books that I have. And that's been a lot of fun. They're all available on Amazon. So you can just go to Amazon and Google my name. You'll come up with the books that I've written. I hope that some teachers could use those as a good teaching tool, as a follow-up to some SEL lessons that they have in their own classroom.
Would you say the grade level, is there a specific, would it be appropriate for all of the elementary grades or maybe more of the lower grades? Kind of how would that fit?
So that's a great question. The Kiera is Kind book that I did is much more lower elementary, pre-K, kindergarten, first grade, maybe second grade. The David and Donald books are really geared more toward upper elementary. Okay. They're a little bit longer of a read. And the other book I didn't mention, which is called Sunday Night Words of Wisdom, is really an adult book. It's really a themed off of a friend of mine, John Armada, and I put that together as a way to help grown-ups focus based on words of wisdom. So you read a quote from someone and do some journaling about that. So that's a little bit different from all the other kids' books that I have.
Great, great. Well, you've really done a variety of things. The Distinguished Principalship, you're speaking at conferences this summer, and you've written children's books as long as, you know, about being a principal, an active principal. Out of everything we talked about today, what's one thing you'd like listeners to remember?
I guess that point I made going out of at the very beginning, which is that as people in education, you know, we're in the people business. Yeah. And we have an awesome opportunity every single day to impact kids. And we're doing it, whether we like it or not, in a positive way or a negative way. And remember that impact that you have, each and every day. I just heard on the radio this morning some people talking about teachers they had in their life. And these are people that are, you know, 30, 40, 50 years old. You matter, teachers, you educators, you matter. And what you do matters to kids and makes an impact on them every single day. So I think that that's something that's important to remember. It's a lot of, it can be almost overwhelming because it's such an important responsibility, but take that seriously and enjoy it. Have passion for what you do and recognize the great opportunity you have to change the future.
Yeah, that's so great to remember because we never know who's going to reach out to us 10, 15, 20 years later.
Yep, absolutely.
Where can people connect with you and find you online?
So on Twitter, my Twitter is at Moyer Matthew D. And on Facebook, you can find me. My professional Facebook page is called From the Principal's Office. And there's a number of those that might be out there. Mine has a caricature of my face. So that's what sets me apart there. From the Principal's Office is on Facebook. And on Instagram, it's Moyers From the Principal's Office. So there's a few ways to hook up.
Okay, great, great. I'll make sure to put those in the show notes. Well, thank you so much for being my guest on the Out of the Trenches podcast today. It was a pleasure having you on.
Oh, it's been my pleasure to be with you. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Check out the show notes on danagoodyear.com to learn more about this guest and links to their social media. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review wherever you download this podcast. Tell your friends and colleagues about it. And if this episode resonates, especially with you, be sure to share it out on social media and tag me at Out of Trenches PC.